The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to worship. And it's good that we are all here together. And together we will encounter God in word and sacrament and in the presence of each other. We begin this morning with the words printed in our bulletin. Please join me. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
And invite all those who can stand to stand now, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
By water and the Holy Spirit, God gives you a new birth. And through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God forgives you all your sins. The God of mercy and might strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life.
Amen. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, you draw near to us in Christ, and you make yourself our guest. Amid the cares of our lives,
make us attentive to your presence, that we may treasure your word above all else. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
And now we invite the children to come forward for a children's sermon. Barring summer vacation, welcome all of my children.
Yes.
Well, we have an interesting text today, and I want to illustrate, I think, one of the ways that this text can speak to us. Space is an interesting thing, right? There's only so much space in a container for everything that needs to fit, right? And so I know many of you might have known this, but if I need to fit both the rice and the balls into the same space, do you think I can put the balls into this cup? No, there's not enough space for it, right? Does anyone can come up with an option of how to resolve this problem?
Pour the rice.
Put the balls in first, yeah. I heard someone say, right? Why? Because sometimes you've got to put the important things in first. And if you put the large balls in first, I have to do this so I don't make a mess in the sanctuary. Hopefully I have the proper balance here. It all fits, right? It all fits. I think one of the ways this text speaks to me is if we take our priorities first, we aim up, we make God, give God a place in our hearts, then all the other worries and concerns of the world can then have room. But if we put in our hearts and in our minds, we fill up our soul with the worry and the concerns, then somehow, magically, we no longer have room for God. So let us always ask God for the grace and the mercy for us to make that place a priority, and then let the rice come where it may. Let us pray. In the count of three, we'll bring our hands together. One, two, three. Repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you that you make room in our hearts.
Thank you that you make room in our hearts.
Amen.
Like a
Our first reading, this sixth Sunday after Pentecost, is written in Genesis chapter 18, starting at the beginning. A reading from the book of Genesis. Now hear the word. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread so that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. He then took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them as he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm this morning is Psalm 15. It is on page 5 in your bulletin. If you would respond in the dark print after I read the light. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle? Who may abide upon your holy hill?
Those who lead a blameless life and do what is right, who speak the truth from their heart.
They do not slander with the tongue. They do no evil to their friends. They do not cast discredit upon a neighbor.
In their sight, the wicked are rejected, but they honor those who fear the Lord. They have sworn upon their health and do not take back their word.
They do not give their money in hope of gain, nor do they take bribes against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be overthrown. And our second reading is in Colossians. Again, the first chapter, starting with verse 15. Hear now the word. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continually secure established and steadfast, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you have heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a minister of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became his minister according to God's commission that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her, then, to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing, and Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Well, it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone now, after a few years together, that I love wisdom sayings. And a wisdom saying is that short, pithy kernel of truth that you can say and you can latch on to. But you know, it's not an absolute rule. Take, for example, haste makes waste. What a lovely wisdom saying that is. That is, until you realize that he who hesitates is lost. So which one is it? Do you need to look before you leap, or does fortune favor the bold? And that's why we call them wisdom sayings. We don't call them fact-based sayings. We don't call them truth sayings. They're wisdom sayings. Because you need to learn a kernel of truth, and then you need to have the wisdom to know which to use. You know, sometimes a penny saved is a penny earned, and sometimes you have to spend money to make money. And wisdom should guide you to which one to apply. Now, I know this is obvious, and sometimes I'm beating that proverbial dead horse because I'm always talking like this. But we seem to understand this when it comes to wisdom saying, almost intuitively, by instinct, we understand this. However, we understand it, however, until we open the Bible. And then we want simple truths, simple absolute statements. And the problem is, one of two things occur when we go for the simple absolute. One is, we construct a club, a simple absolute club, to knock our neighbor over the head with the truth. Or we're so uncomfortable with the truth that we don't agree with, that we completely discard it. For example, my friends, if these two wisdom sayings, haste makes waste, and he who hesitates is lost, were in the scriptures, say they were in the first book of Hesitations, I would bet you would have at least two denominations. We would have the Lutheran Church of Hesitation, and we would have the Lutheran Church of Holy Impulse. And both of them would create a club to go after the other. You're not waiting enough, you're waiting too long, and you'd be hitting each other over these proverbial clubs about how sinful the other person is. And we would miss the wisdom of the two things. The Holy Church of Hesitation would miss the wisdom that sometimes you have to just act. Sometimes it's better to act now, repent later, and the Lutheran Church of Holy Impulse would miss the wisdom that sometimes you need to stop and think about what you do. And why am I bringing all this up? Friends, we're in Mary and Martha. And the history of the interpretation of this text follows the two examples I just gave you. First is, let's make this story a simple, absolute truth. You all need to be Mary, not Martha. Martha was bad, Mary good, be Mary. It's too simple. We know it doesn't work. Any experience with the church tells you that you need a lot of Marthas to make the ministry work. And if you don't believe me, friends, the coffee you are about to drink was not made by Mary. It's too simple. And worst of all, we tend to create that club. Let's go beat Martha over the head with the "you need to be Mary" club. And the second danger is we're uncomfortable with it, so we then discard the truth. So another popular approach to a sermon on Mary and Martha is to just defend Martha in the sermon. So you're missing the point of the text, both ways. And as you know, wisdom sayings have to be brought into conversation together. They're not true by themselves. They are true in conversation together. So I remind you, friends, that this text that we have today is right after our text from last week. And if you weren't here, that's okay. I'll remind you. Last week was the Good Samaritan text. And that story and this story are framed by the question that Jesus is asked by the lawyer. What is the greatest commandment? And Jesus' response: to love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. I proposed to you last week was the commentary on loving your neighbor. Today is a commentary on loving God. So may we bring those two texts into conversation together. Avoid the extremes. If we do that, what might we discover? Well, on one hand, friends, you cannot pass the person who's mostly dead on the side of the road because you are late to pray. God does not want that. You need to stop and help. So turn your holy church of impulse on at that moment and act. But at the same time, we all know, because this is the human condition, that we can fill our lives with so much activity that we neglect what is most important. Our culture rises activity. You're rewarded if you are the most busy. It's more important to be busy than to be productive. And busy is also a way we use to protect ourselves from true encounter. The love of God, the forgiveness of God, the life of God, of Christ given to us, is somewhat fearful because it has the power to change our lives. I think this is why "do not fear" is the most repeated command in Scripture. Because love on one side is very fearful because it can transform you. I often warn people before they ask to come surfing with me. For the one time I had this disclaimer: be careful, this one encounter may change the rest of your life. Love is like that. And perhaps we are afraid of the transforming power of love, and so the best way to avoid that is to nobly be busy. You have something in your life, you don't want it. You're procrastinating. Find holy busyness. And that's what I think Mary represents. She is not the one in ministry working behind the scenes. She is the one who is encountering or using busyness to avoid what really matters. This is the human condition. We are so busy becoming that we never stop to be. We are so busy searching for God, we never stop to realize God is right here within us. And so, what do we do? Well, let's remember what Jesus says. To love God, love your neighbor. See, Mary and Martha are not two people. Mary and Martha are two aspects of you. You are a heaven object, you are an earth object. What the gospel calls for us is to integrate our whole self into the love of God. This is why I think the cross is such a powerful symbol for us. We have on one hand this vertical line from heaven to earth. God comes down on that line to us. Hopefully our hearts are tuned up to God. And then it goes out horizontal to our neighbors. And in that center, that is you. You are where those two lines interconnect. Without either line, there's no cross. With the cross, there's you. You are the encounter of heaven and earth. It's not good enough to be so busy you don't encounter God. And likewise, friends, that center where heaven and earth meet is also all around you. Don't be so fascinated with yourself that you don't realize God is also everywhere else. My friends, Mary and Martha is not a club to hit someone else. It's an invitation for us to grow into who we truly are, to know that we have work in the world to do. We have a world to love, but we also need to stop and smell the roses. Care for your soul. Encounter God. Make God the priority. And then everything else can come in. This is why we gather around the table, a table where we're told that here is God. Here is God's body. Then you take God's body and you eat God's body because you are God's body. You are what you eat, friends. And then we go out into the world because the world is God's body too. And we need to tell the world through love, through words, that you are also the body of Christ. The journey is to love God and your neighbor. We encounter that journey every Sunday, every moment. Let us now learn to live in, to be heaven and earth, to be Mary and Martha, to be the body of Christ for the body of Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
In solidarity with all creation, we join our voice to the voice of the whole church and pray for the needs of the world. Inspire your church, like Sarah and Mary, to listen with eager longing for your words of life. Equip biblical interpreters and teachers with faithful discernment so your word may be more fully known. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Every creature under heaven has been promised the hope of the gospel. From that promise, generate in humankind an eagerness to protect and to care for creation. Bring healing to the earth with your words of life. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Heal away the distractions, worries, and fears of all who govern the nations of the world. May your word of love and life dispel all other voices. Provide gracious hospitality in places where hostile forces hold sway. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Speak your word of comfort to any who suffer pain, illness, grief, depression, or despair, especially Joe, Harold, Misty, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Dan, Julie, Paul, Dean, Mako, Elliot, Mike, Patricia, the David Engle family, Kenneth Tracy, the family of Rudy De La Rosa, for immigrants and refugees, that they may be treated justly, their dignity honored, and their rights upheld. Victims of war and violence, victims of natural disasters in our nation and around the world, especially the victims of flooding in Texas and the children at Camp Mystic. And also for those people for whom we name aloud or in our hearts. Bring honor to any who experience slander and evil intent or are discredited by others. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Enliven and uphold all siblings in Christ who strive to provide hospitality and safe spaces where everyone, without exception, can receive and be transformed by your word of life. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
For Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, Mary, Martha, and all the saints who attended to your word, we give thanks. Open our ears to your voice until that day when we realize the promise of the gospel with all creation. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Trusting in your loving kindness, we place our prayer and hope in you. In the name of Jesus Christ.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Yes, it was.
Oh, it was.
invite us to come back together and please stand for our offering. Let us pray. Creator God, in your wisdom, you bring forth all that is good, and the harvest is plentiful. Strengthen us at your table with these gifts of the earth and our labor, that we may work for the good of all, through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Stretched out his hands in suffering in order to free from suffering those who trust you. He is the one who handed over to death he freely accepted in order to destroy death, to take the bonds of the evil one, to crush hell underfoot, to give light to the righteous, to establish his covenant, and to show forth the resurrection. Taking bread and giving thanks to you, he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering then his death and resurrection, we take this bread and cup, giving you thanks that you made us worthy to stand before you and to serve as your holy priestly people. Send your Spirit upon these gifts of your church. Gather into one all who share this bread and wine. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to establish our faith in truth, that we may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, with your holy people in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered together as one, let us pray as Jesus has taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God for all the people, and all are welcome to come forward and partake of this. In a moment, the ushers will come and we will ask that you fill in our communion rail from right to left. You may either stand or kneel. We only ask that you come with your hand extended and you receive the bread in your hand. And then when the wine comes to each end, I need to take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is grape juice. If you wish to only receive a blessing, you may do that too. Come with your arms folded. But know that the love of God is for all, and all means all, which means all, which means all. And all are welcome here. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior keep us in grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Mothering God, you gathered us to your table and we drank deeply of your grace. Send us out by your Spirit to love our neighbors as ourselves and proclaim your love in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Friends, we pause just a moment for announcements, and it's a tremendously busy week at the church, so please take full advantage of all that we're doing. We have book club on both Tuesday and Thursday. We have our summer barbecue. It's chicken week or chicken month, so join us 6 on Wednesday. We have a bunch of other things that I'm not thinking of. Beach walk, contemplative prayer. It's all in the words of the week, so please avail yourself of that. And also, today after service, briefly, Pete is going to make have a question and answer session on our impact of our church from PUD's new construction project. So if you have any questions or want to hear about it, stay here and then enjoy our wonderful fellowship hour. And we got a lot of treats out there, so you want to stay for that. I know I'm forgetting something, but that's where it is. Let us prepare ourselves for the meditation. May the love of God abound in you. The grace of your Savior, Jesus Christ, fill your heart. And the life of the Spirit bless you and give you peace.
Thank you.
in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
But don't actually go anywhere. Unless you need. Then you may.
Okay, as you know, the PUD, well, maybe you don't know, but the PUD is going to tear down their building over here and build a new building. And where they're going to build it is in the their parking lot that is right next to ours where our driveway goes out of here. So we'll be losing that driveway out of here. They're going to be moving it down to this end. And these parking places that are out on this end of our church will be made straight so that we can back out and go out that direction instead of the way we go now around and through the parking lot. And the other thing is why they're doing this project, which I think they said 9 months, but I'm sure it'll take at least a year. And they've asked to use our parking lot for their employees while they do that. And they wanted to know how much we wanted for that. And I told them we just want to be good neighbors. You know, if you want to park here, that's fine. But they came back to us and said, no, we can't do that. We're going to pay you for using it. So we're going to have some income from that. But I have a picture here of what they're going to do. And I'll put it out here, or it'll be in the meeting room on the table there if you want to go in and look at it afterward. But this is the site. This is our church here at this site. These parking places will be straightened out. And we'll lose this driveway that's right up here. That driveway is going to be moved down to here. And this will be their new building, which will be in the parking lot that they have right there now. They're going to tear down their old building, and that'll be their new parking where the old building is. So they'll be using our parking lot. And they only work 4 days a week. And our office, pastor's not here on Mondays, so we're here Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We'll be sharing it. And it'll be pretty crowded when the quilters are here because they fill the parking lot. but that'll be the only inconvenience for right now. Yeah. Well, I'll take any questions you have. Grab it up, anything else?
No, I think you got a good. When they repave, we are gaining 9 additional spots to park. So that will help offset the 20 or so employees during the construction period with the quilters. So we're not losing 20 spots.
Well, the finance committee hasn't decided that. There have been some requests for that money, but it'll either go in the endowment fund or one of our funds, or if it doesn't go there, we'll use it for whatever. As I told you, one of the last week, I think it was, or week before, that one of the memorials paid for the new coffee maker in the kitchen, one of them. And the other coffee maker was paid for by your giving. So even though we're going to have more income, don't stop your giving. We need that to keep. And our mortgage, as of next month, I believe it is, Peggy, will go under $100,000. Is that right?
Yes.
So we're getting, this place is, it's going down. You're doing a fine job with your giving and everything. And the finance committee, the council, will try to be good stewards and make good use of this income. Any other questions?
When does the project start?
It's September, I think it is. Yeah, it'll start in September.
Give or take.